This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our final hour of Sharp Money back from downtown Las Vegas, Bar Canada at the D. I'm Ben Wilson. Dustin Sweetelson is here. We are ready to rock, Dustin. A lot of baseball to talk about here in this final hour.
And you're ready to rock. I'm ready to roll, bro.
Oh, nice. Cool, dude. You've been missing Patrick, I know.
Does anyone really? I don't get the freedom. He calls me out on the dumb things I say. You all let me roll with it and do my thing. I don't know if we miss Patrick.
Okay. I was trying to do him a solid, you know, because I fill in for Patrick a lot every July, and I always appreciate that. And but I'm sure he's still enjoying his time off.
Oh, I can tell you this. Time off this time of year, everyone enjoys it.
They do. Yep. You're not you're not having to be buried in the daily grind right now, which it's about to get a lot better.
You're not looking at the Olympics opening ceremony like 2 weeks into the event starting. That's one thing you're not doing.
2 weeks.
It's been going on for two weeks.
2 days.
There was basketball games like a week ago.
Those are exhibitions. It wasn't part of it.
No, they were the Olympic teams playing. They are the Olympics.
Okay. They're just drumming up support for what the future was to hold. Anyway, sure. We'll get some Olympic talk, too, but first some baseball with our pal Mick Chiarella, who joins us, Fantrax senior analyst, and at Betting Pros as well. We go out to our progressive guest line to start this hour. You follow him at the Mick 23. And we're starting to see some of these trades now, Mick, come into the market for Major League Baseball. The latest one that actually just dropped here in our last break, it is Zach Eflin, who is of the Tampa Bay Rays, goes to Baltimore to try to fortify that pitching staff. Eflin, a guy whose underlying numbers say he should be better than his 4.09 ERA. But Baltimore, not at all shy about making some moves here. They get Sir Anthony Dominguez earlier in the day as a reliever from Philadelphia. What do you make of what the Orioles are trying to do here with that narrow lead atop the AL East?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. I always appreciate being on with you guys. The Eflin trade is very interesting to me. I always like it when interdivisional trades happen. That's always an interesting dynamic. I think what he's going to bring to Baltimore is a little bit stability behind Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez. They have a little bit of question marks following those two guys. You got guys like Dean Kramer, Albert Suarez. You have Chase McDermott in there in the mix, Cade Povich, those kind of guys. But after Burnes and Grayson, there's not really that third guy that can solidify rotation. I think Eflin brings that dynamic. He's a stabilizing force. He's made 50 starts over the last 2 years. I think he's a guy who's going to give him some veteran leadership and some stability towards the middle of that rotation.
I love it. I love it, Mick. Thanks, as always, for doing this. And let's touch on another trade before we get into some of your bets. And you're all across the board today, which I always am a fan of. But last night, Randy Arozarena goes up to Seattle, and Arozarena's had a down year, but he's been a lot better over the last like month or so. When you see him being added to that lineup in Seattle, desperate for offense, tons of pitching, how do you think this helps their chances going forward? Do you think it helps make them more viable, like legitimately?
I think it does. They're probably going to need more than Arozarena, as good as he's been the last few weeks. Seattle's offense has been pretty poor lately. Well, most of the season, to be honest with you. But especially over the last few weeks, especially against right-handed pitching, which kind of ties into one of my props that I like tonight, which I'm sure we'll discuss momentarily. But Seattle's offense has definitely had some struggles lately. So I think Arozarena is definitely going to help. I think they need more than that, but I do think he's going to be a boost.
Two back in the loss column right now, Seattle, and 2-1 to win the AL West as Houston now has taken the top spot in that division. Talking some baseball here to start the segment with Mick Chiarella. And we go to a very interesting spot for tonight. We're trying to figure out what to really expect realistically out of Kodai Senga as he comes back after a long absence here for the New York Mets, last year's runner-up in the Rookie of the Year market. He is in action tonight as the Mets take on the Braves. A little same-game parlay you are looking to do here to at least try to manipulate these markets, since it is so hard to project, right, what we're going to get out of Senga. What was the angle of attack you looked to do with this game?
Well, I like taking the under on the strikeouts just because I think this might be a bit of a suppressed start in terms of innings and pitches. He's thrown, you know, no more than 79 pitches in any of his rehab starts. He's been out for 4 months with a shoulder injury. I think the Mets are finally gaining their mojo back. If they win this game, they overtake the Braves for second in the division. The last thing they're going to want to do is overextend Senga. So I'm liking a little same game parlay. I like under 7.5 strikeouts for Senga combined with Jeff McNeil to get one hit. McNeil has 2 hits in 3 straight games. He's got 10 hits overall in his last 7. The Mets have bumped him up to 5th in the lineup. He and Francisco Lindor are really doing most of the damage for the Mets lately. I know if you can't get Senga under 7.5, I still don't mind playing him at 6.5. So again, I only see him going about 85 or 90 pitches tonight. He made 6 starts of last season in which he threw 90 or fewer pitches, and he struck out 6 or fewer hitters in 5 of the 6.
Yeah, Mick,
I think if Senga goes only 5 or 6 innings, I think that's the route I'm going to go tonight.
Mick, I'm a Mets fan, and I don't love the last couple minor league rehab starts for Senga. I wanted him maybe to get more work. I don't like putting him in this
right.
spot here against Atlanta, who, by the way, like, is coming off a gross loss last night. And you're right on McNeil. McNeil is red hot, and this is kind of the Jeff McNeil we've come to know and love. Let's stay in New York. Let's flip sports. Actually, we're not staying in New York. We're going to New Jersey, where you have the Jets, high expectations. They're all in. Aaron Rodgers back in the mix, and you like them to make the playoffs this year.
It's painful for me because I'm a lifelong Jets fan, and I'm the most pessimistic person when it comes to this team. And even I was surprised and not expecting my season to end after 4 plays last year. But I do think this is the year they can at least make the playoffs. I don't know if I can set, you know, parade plans for February yet, but I do think the playoffs is an attainable goal with this team. You have Rodgers coming back. You have a revamped offensive line. And as bad as the quarterback play was last season, they did win 7 games. And there were definitely a few games in there, the Patriots game, the Falcons game, the Raiders game, which I flew to Vegas to attend and spent 3 miserable hours at Allegiant Stadium. So there were a few games there where if they had even halfway decent quarterback play, they probably would have won. So I think that getting into the playoffs is a very attainable goal for this team this season.
And it's where shopping around is very, very valuable this time of year. Some books taking more action than others. You look at MGM, you can get a minus 145 on New York to make the playoffs. DK's up to minus 175. Certainly worth your time as we talk about stuff like this to shop around for the best of the number. Let's get to some Olympic stuff because I'm pumped for the betting angles on this. We'll go to the men's basketball first. That in primarily the group stage gets underway tomorrow here. And it looks like we have another person coming on, Dustin, who is buying a sleeper out of Group B. Who do you like to maybe make some noise here in a group that otherwise is perceived to be dominated by France?
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the Germans to medal. I found that at plus 250 on DK. This is an experienced and battle-tested group. They finished 3rd in the Eurobasket a couple of years ago, and they are the reigning FIBA World Cup champions. They have the moxie and the, you know, wherewithal to navigate these kind of international tournaments. They have plenty of NBA experience. You got guys like Dennis Schroeder. You got the Wagner brothers, Daniel Theiss. We saw them play the U.S. last week in a very close game in which, quite honestly, they had some self-inflicted wounds. They could have very easily won that game. And again, yeah, as you mentioned, outside of France, they have a relatively easy draw. I think it's pretty safe to say they'll at least make the quarterfinals. The books agree with that. They have them at minus 1,000 to make the quarterfinals. And I think at that point, you know, anything is up for grabs depending on the matchups. Even if you get to the quarterfinal stage, maybe you hedge against them. Maybe you cash out for a profit. But either way, this is a bet that I'm definitely taking. And I'm personally going to ride with it. But I think there are a couple of different ways you can make some money off of it as well.
Well, golf, we've gotten used to that. There's the PGA Tour and there's LIV. And now we're going to add the Olympics to the mix here. What are you doing when it comes to Olympic golf, Mick?
Well, I know it's very chalky, but I got to go with Scottie Scheffler to take home the gold. He's in a class by himself these days. He's basically lapping the field in the tournaments he is playing. Since March, he has played in 11 tournaments. He's won 6 of them. He has 2 other top 2 finishes. He has 2 other top 10 finishes. This is a guy who's just on another level right now. If this was at a plus 200 or so, I'd probably be hesitant. But you can usually get it anywhere between plus 300 and plus 350. And I think the way he's been playing the last few months, I think this is a very nice bet at this price.
Cannot argue with anybody who wants to bet Scottie Scheffler the way the form has been. 3.5 to 1 there for Mick. Talking all things Olympic betting here to close out the segment. At the Mick 23 is where you follow him. FanTrack senior analyst and writer for Betting Pros. Always great to catch up, Mick. Really appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
That is two guests who are high on Germany coming into this tournament.
Hey, look, find that value when it comes to this. Although, just like, remember, like,
they're not in the same group as the U.S. That's
no,
the point.
I know, but we think because we know this is the thing. We think because we know them as NBA players, right? How it's going to play out based on what they have. But like there's no continuity. Like, these systems are still fairly limited. Like, I don't know how anyone has any conviction in any of this stuff.
And it's a different game, different rules.
Yeah.
The rim protection. That's why you're
Steph Curry's able to take
anybody.
A step up and shoot threes now.
Yeah. Well, that's why I know what he's talking about. Greece, simply because you just form a wall against, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I give anyone credit. I sound like Donald Duck. You have anyone credit who's looking at this and going, you know what? I have an angle. I will buy all of your angles. I just can't come up with my own on the Olympics right now.
Isn't the most logical angle for events like this, where you get the $5 favorites, if you are finding books that allow you to do this, you just go cross-sport futures parlays. You
yes.
do something you like that's, you know, in the minus like $150 to $2 range in the NFL. So let's say it's, you know, the Jets to make the playoffs, right? You can find a minus $150 price parlay with the U.S. to win the gold medal. You're getting even money-ish.
Well, I'm a Patriot, first and foremost. So everyone knows that who watches the show. And I
Obviously.
Would just go USA to win the gold, cross every single sport in the Olympics as my parlay, because these colors don't run.
It's going to be great when they win, you know.
All but one.
You know that's how that works, Dustin.
Yeah, yeah. Sprinting, you know, something like that.
Well, I mean, they're already out in they're likely going to be out in men's soccer. So
true.
There's also a lot of those sports where, like, the women's basketball, they're priced so heavily. Like, there's no point. It's minus a kajillion.
I'll say this. I'm actually excited to watch the 3-on-3. I'm fascinated by that element. I think that is something I'm going to get way into.
It's weird. Even though these are sports I always watch, I love the Olympic tennis and the Olympic golf, just because it's like a different environment for a sport we love. Those are my two favorites. Dustin does not agree.
Real sports.
He doesn't think they're real sports. They are real. They are. When we come back here, we'll take a look at some more NFL topics and get into some 3-up, 3-down as well.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
With our newly released NFL betting guide, there's no better time to be a VSIN Pro subscriber than right now. Go ahead and do it, because we have a special early bird offering for you as well. Only VSIN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. And if you sign up before the end of July, you receive both our college football guide, which is set to drop August 1st, and the already out NFL guide. And you get full VSIN Pro access as well for a discount price of just $175. That football special discount price expires at the end of July on the 31st, so do not wait. Go to VSIN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. I think I just sold Dustin on the merits of living in Wisconsin during our last break.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least
for a few months of the year.
I mean, the amount of deodorant I go through in the summer of Las Vegas with the multiple showers and everything, it just feels like my life could be more efficient in the Midwest. However, I have not owned a shovel in over a decade at this point. I'm not looking to add that back into the mix of my life.
That's why I said certain months. It wears you down, no doubt, the winters, but that's why. You know. Summer, you'd love it. It's like 75, 80 every day.
Yeah, I'm
light
into
breeze.
That. I mean, look, you know, if we're being
a lot
fair,
of dairy, beer, cheese.
If we're really looking at the map, like, maybe should have given Wisconsin to the Canadians. Kind of fits better. I don't know. Feels more Canadian than American.
You say Michigan based on the map?
Michigan as well. They
say Michigan and Minnesota, because Wisconsin technically does not border Canada, but like Michigan.
It
and
doesn't.
No.
Hold on. What's above it?
It's the Upper Peninsula. That's Michigan. The UP.
See. Look, logistically speaking, whoever designed the country was like, this should be Michigan. It looks like someone with an Etch-a-Sketch that had too many mushrooms.
Yeah, I can't push back on that. I mean, you're not wrong.
It doesn't make sense. And
what's weird is
breaking
how,
it up.
What's
yeah,
weird is how
right.
most of the UP, is, or a lot of the UP, is in the Eastern time zone, even though it's directly north of Wisconsin, which is central time. It's really trippy.
What's the bit? It's like Atlanta is further west than Detroit, and people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Like Atlanta, where there was a chance the state of Georgia was going to be split multiple time zones, just be awful like that. Same thing.
Like Indiana.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't live
anyway,
that.
Anyway, my crusade to make Dustin, not completely.
Well, I'm just not.
Dislike anything Midwest. Is ongoing. We'll say that.
Yeah, look, the only thing I like from the Midwest is from Wisconsin. That is New Glarus Spotted Cow. That is the only thing that I think is elite from the Midwest. Outside of that, I'm just not a big fan of giving up on your dreams.
Okay. I can't push back on that. Spotted Cow. Really, really good. Gotta have it whenever you're there. Illegal to sell outside the state. That's how good it is.
Look, if we take away a body of water, Wisconsin sort of touches Canada. Sort of.
if we take away a Bobby.
Is the lake international water?
I don't know the merits of maritime law. I'm not Bob Loblaw over here, okay? I'm not really sure. This is a great way, too, for final hour of final time I'm here on Sharp Money. I'm going to miss you guys, at least for now, because
I know
you're about to say speak for yourself, but
it's football season. We're going to see a lot of each other. What are we talking about?
I'm just saying the show. I'm not saying you.
Oh, you're okay.
I'm saying the show general.
Yeah. Oh, the audience. I forget that they're there sometimes. Yeah, just kind of do my own thing over here.
Yeah, sometimes you're just free will.
I make it about me. My therapist doesn't like it.
Yeah. Probably a good idea to.
She's a VSIN Pro, though. You should sign VSIN, up.
VSIN Pro?
Yeah.
Good. It's good to know. I thought it's like last time I'm filling in for Patrick here before he comes back from his vacation. We'll talk some power rankings here. As far as the NFL goes, you are more of a feel guy. You do not do your own power ratings, Dustin.
Does that shock you that I'm not an analytically driven numbers guy? Does that blow you away?
No, I'm not. It's not what I said, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no. My power ranking system is how much I feel it in my loins. That is how I power rate these things. However, I don't really disagree with your top four teams in football. I might move one or two around, but I'd like to go over yours and the process that goes into this, Ben.
Sure thing. Well, so we're looking at top five and bottom five here today. I go Chiefs 1, Ravens 2, Niners 3, Eagles 4, and then the Dolphins, which actually surprised me, just going through the rosters, going through the numbers that cracked my top five. Who would be the fifth? First off, Dustin, in your place, you would put instead of Miami?
I would put the Lions. I am that high on the Lions.
I had him six.
Yeah, situationally on the Lions, also the schedule, the lack of outdoor games for Goff, where that's been a big issue for him in his career, but also something to be said for the motivation for the way the season ended a year ago, looking to get over the hump. This has been a proper build. Like sometimes we think of these things, these quick turnarounds. I do like the pace at which Detroit has turned this around under this regime. They would have been my number five.
Very valid. And again, they did not miss. I mean, look, as far as total teams, if Miami and Detroit were to play on a neutral field, I would have it a pick 'em. So, I mean, it was really like co-fifth. I give Miami the slightest of nods there. Yeah. Process is fascinating for this stuff. I've found it very beneficial for predicting long-term success. These I kind of use more for playoff bets, futures, as opposed to I'm not sitting there trying to grind out a model spitting out numbers versus the week-to-week lines. The point of this is more looking at full rosters combined with schedules, coaching, as well as baking in some of last year's performance as well. And I'm mostly looking at, there are a multitude of sites. Look at PFF does this, Sharp Football does this. You can go and look at individual rankings by position. To me, Dustin, that is a super valuable way to create what your power ratings are for teams, because as much as we can sit here and just do the general media talk of, a quarterback is the only thing that matters, and granted, it matters much more than all the other positions, and you could argue than the other positions combined, you still need a full team to really have a good feel of predictive value going forward long term. So I kind of average out several different sites with the positional rankings. I'm not pretending to sit here and say I'm going to rank them myself 1 to 32.
Sure.
I'm going to look at people I trust. And when you come out of that, you can create a composite which represents nearly 50% of what your power rating will be. Then you're factoring in coaching. You're factoring in strength of schedule. You're also factoring in as well. I don't want to totally discount the data from last year. So I'm looking at some of that, which includes the completion percentage over expectation, EPA composite that I like to look at a lot of different quarterbacks by. That is all what goes into my process. And to me, it gives you the more complete picture than just saying, all right, well, I like this quarterback. I like this coach. So I'm going to bet on this team. And it's produced some results that I was surprised by based on what you would have thought.
No, and you don't have to live and die with your numbers if you don't want to.
No, that's a starting place.
But you absolutely can be someone who there's no judgment either way. Very open to the expression of how you want to handle this. I'm curious now because you piqued my interest. Dolphins are five. The Lions are six. Who's seven on your list?
The Jets.
Wow.
Jets.
And now we go and we look at the market. Well, let's just go Super Bowl. Your seventh-rated power team is 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, which I love. In fact, your fifth-rated power team, Miami, is 22-1.
Exactly.
It means you have the possibility to take some shots here. Are you feeling likely to fire on either of those?
It's funny. No, because, look, the context matters with how tough this division is. I mean, you've got – and I don't have Buffalo too far down the board either. The one I'm most intrigued by to make a futures position, and I want to see early reports on training camp first, because the biggest gap I have is actually team number 8, which, and this is the classic case of, okay, how much are you weighing in quarterback performance and expectation? To me, the Cleveland Browns, purely on roster, second-best roster in the NFL. But Man. You have a glaring question mark at quarterback, yet you kind of read between the tea leaves. You think about Kevin Stefanski retaking play calling. You get a healthy camp out of Deshaun Watson. That is one that is super enticing because I'm looking at them as, you know, 40-1. You're talking plus 150 just to make the playoffs, and I have them in my top 10. That's the one for me, Dustin, of all these long shots I've been the closest to pulling the trigger on. That's the one that is really it's really right there. I just want to have feel some more assurances, see what the reports are looking like on the Cleveland side with so many question marks on the offense.
I want to kiss you on the mouth because the Cleveland Browns are a team I can't stop fantasizing about because, like you just said, if Deshaun Watson is 75% of Houston Texans Deshaun Watson, he can just be healthy, it all sets up. I mean – let's look at the offensive line is always good. Offensive line has had tons of continuity. You don't have to worry about that. They're going to get Nick Chubb back as well. You're going to get arguably the best running back in football back. You're going to have a plethora of outside weapons, adding Jerry Jeudy to the mix. They've made moves. They have depth there. They have playmakers. Everyone's a little bit different in what they bring to the table. And, oh, by the way, that defense has just about everyone back, and Jim Schwartz is still there, so you have absolute continuity. If Deshaun Watson's 75% of who he used to be, this team's scary. I love them 6-1 to win the AFC North. It's my favorite play, and the reason you're getting that number is because the questions surrounding Watson. We don't know. If we knew, it would be a lot shorter. I'll take that chance. It's the one missing ingredient.
Of all the teams, I did 8 positional categories, really, and there are only 5 that were above their top half of the league in 7 of the 8. Browns are one of them. But the Browns are also the only team where that one that's not in the top half is quarterback. That's where the variance comes in for 2024.
But the upside's there. That's the thing. It's been a minute. It's been a while. And I do believe what we saw from him a year ago, Deshaun Watson, was a guy trying to play through an injury until he just no longer could handle it anymore. That's part of why he looks so bad.
So that's my biggest, you know, at least based on doing this exercise, the biggest team to bet on as far as a future perspective, Cleveland. The biggest one to bet against, to me, the Giants, number 32, team 32 for me.
Wow.
And they're sitting, you know, 6.5. And actually, I'm not as down on New England. I mean, I'm still down on them. I don't think they'll be any good. But New England was at the start of my bottom 5, not the actual bottom 5, which is what most people have.
Look, I'm a Giants fan. I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're worse than the Patriots. And I don't think they're worse than the Broncos either.
I think they are. We're allowed to disagree.
You use numbers. Show. I use my loins. That's the difference.
Now, one of those is proven time over time. When we come back, we'll break down the Major League Baseball card on this Friday. A whole lot of bets to get to right after this.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final half hour of the show for us on Sharp Money from downtown Las Vegas, Bar Canada at the D, back with Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Ben Wilson. I've enjoyed these last 2 days, Dustin.
It's been a fun time.
I say it in all sincerity.
Been a good time. Good vibes. You know, we're looking football ahead, but baseball's fun, man. I hope next week, the trade deadline, I hope the action continues. I like when there's chaos. I like when teams go for it. I want as many teams as possible to add top-tier talent, make this fun, make baseball relevant again down the stretch. So many times over the last few years, and I'm guilty of it despite it being my favorite sport, football starts and I'm like, you know what? I don't have the capacity to think about baseball that often. I do think with so many teams in the mix, it could be really unique this year.
A Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Look, a lot of really good division races, too. I mean, you think about how many divisions are still up for grabs at this point. Makes it very, very enticing. You'd say the one that's probably not up for grabs is the NL East, which Philadelphia has been very, very solid.
Plus 280.
And there you go. Sit and play. You can't even bet. You can't even lay a minus price at DK right now. Some books are taking that off the board. I was just thinking to them because the former that was the big trade of the day. The former Philly, Zach Eflin, now with the Rays, at least he was until about an hour ago, being traded there to Baltimore. So you've been a big fan, Dustin, of what the Orioles have done. We've seen already them get Sir Anthony Dominguez in a small contender for contender trade along with the Philadelphia Phillies. Baltimore, you look at them coming in here to this this series tonight as the Orioles host San Diego, a team that's been super up and down going there to Camden Yards. It's a team that you kind of feel like you have to strike while the iron is hot with how New York is really struggling to play as your chief division rival at this moment.
Well, a few things. One, the Eflin deal's massive, not just because of this year. He's under contract one more year, which is big because it seems like Corbin Burnes is not going to be locked up long-term by Baltimore. Now, is Zach Eflin Corbin Burnes? Absolutely not. The hope would be then he could be your number two, your number three next year. Grayson Rodriguez maybe could become an ace at that point, or there's someone else you can go acquire, but that helps them with the roster for next season. They also have so many prospects and not enough places for them to play at this point. They have to start dealing these guys for people who can make an impact where they have needs, and starting pitching is a need. Relieving is a need. They really could use another closer here. And my overarching theme with the Orioles this year, why I backed them early in the year, Ben, was just you have new ownership here. The Angelos family was very complacent. They didn't want to spend money. That's why the Baltimore Orioles have so many top prospects in their system. This team was in last place for a long time. This rebuild's been going on for a minute. And now you have new ownership in. They want to capitalize on this. They want to kind of put their stamp on this franchise now. They have the ability to do so, and I believe they're truly going to go for it. I don't know if they're done making deals. I would anticipate one or two more trades for them in the future here as we approach the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would expect the exact same thing on a Baltimore team that minus 125 now to win the AL East. It seems like every time they even have a 2-3 game slide, the market wants to immediately shift to the New York Yankees, which means there is still value there on Baltimore. Even if you've missed the best of the numbers out there, still very palatable numbers to bet into as of this moment there on the Baltimore Orioles. As far as three up, three down, excited to do this today. We didn't have a chance yesterday because there was a lot going on. But three up, three down, one of these pitchers will actually get a start tonight on our three up category, and that is one Mr. George Kirby, who just continues to deal. Doesn't matter the time or the place, and he gets about as good of a matchup as you can ask for tonight going to Chicago, taking on the White Sox.
Yeah, and he's been red hot. He's had a really good year as a control guy. I'll have a play involving him a little bit later here in the show. But over his last 30 and a third, 2.37 ERA, 33 punchouts, a 0.96 whip, 5 quality starts. We touched on it briefly at the start of the show. And oh, by the way, Seattle also made another move today, adding reliever Yimi Garcia to their bullpen, which I really like as well. But the pitching for Seattle is going to be their hallmark down the stretch. That's what's going to matter for them in the playoffs. And I remember former Marlins manager Jeff Torborg once said, or maybe it was Jack McKeon, sorry, Jack McKeon once said, because he ended up winning the World Series in 03,
yes,
not
did.
Torborg. Jack McKeon once said, look, I just want my teams to be able to pitch. Anyone can find hits when it matters. Very few teams can have consistent pitching, and if you have that, it will keep you in games. Seattle Mariners have that. They're very, very formidable against any other lineup out there because of what they can throw at you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that rotation.
Just need to get a couple of bats, and then you feel a lot better about their chances
in
a postseason series because the pitching, yes, is already there. Another guy who is getting a start tonight, who was not a starter for a long time, but as much as we want to talk about Paul Skenes, Jared Jones in Pittsburgh, I mean, Luis Ortiz, it's going under the radar, but this guy has been a stud since being added into that rotation here for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, last 4 starts plus 1 relief appearance. This guy's been electric. I mean, it's really flown under the radar. He's added depth into that rotation now, using him as a starter. 26 2/3 innings pitched over those last 5 games. A 1.01 ERA, 23 punchouts, 0.79 whip, 3 quality starts. Having an arm like that's massive, and if this team's in the playoffs, maybe using him as a multi-inning reliever could be an option for them if they somehow do get to the postseason. Also, another note, this could be a team that could be aggressive here, right? This is a team who could add someone. I don't think they want to shut Paul Skenes down. I don't think losing and mailing in the rest of the season is something they're interested in being right now. They want to go for it. They want to play meaningful games down the stretch. They want to build upon this year, and they could potentially be in the playoffs. This guy tonight, though, Luis Ortiz, has been a revelation. He is a $1.36 dog at Arizona.
Not a bad matchup either with the way Arizona's been very, very up and down so far this year with the bats, especially with how good Ortiz has been recently. To me, Pittsburgh, of all those quagmire wildcard teams in the NL, it's the one that it's the highest variance.
Yeah,
And the Skenes part of it has a huge role in that, since we don't know for sure if they will allow Skenes, and for that matter, Jared Jones to pitch throughout the entirety of the season. Everybody talks Skenes. I mean, Jones was there first, was really, really good at the start of the year. We just don't know on the Jones piece as well. 5-1 to make the playoffs. You could talk me into just about any scenario, though, happening for Pittsburgh. I could see Pittsburgh getting to 85 wins, getting the third wild card. Skeens, Jones, Ortiz are awesome. I could see them winning like 76 games and those guys get shut down in the second week of September, and it just is what it is.
Yeah, I just don't trust the bats, really. That's what
it
comes down to.
Yeah.
So we're talking about pitchers who have never pitched this many innings as well being an issue. However, they are the focal point of this team and the reason why they've catapulted themselves into the wild card mix. But I just don't trust the bats. Brian Reynolds has been really hot lately. He was really strong going into the All-Star break. But O'Neill Cruz can't hit against lefties, right? Andrew McCutchen's an old man. Cabrian Hayes has awful splits. You can't rely on Connor Joe and Rowdy Tellez to be the middle of your order, guys driving in runs here in key spots if you're going to be playing October baseball.
Rowdy Tellez. Love him in Milwaukee.
We are related, but it's no big deal.
Yeah, I'm aware. It makes a lot of sense. You should be. I mean, everything else fits, just not the name. One guy that probably going under the radar as far as our final on this three-up segment for a pitcher you would not think, and it kind of correlates to how the team has gotten a lot better. But you know, numbers are super pedestrian. It was one of those pitchers, too, in Andrew Heaney, the lefty for the Rangers. A lot of positive regression, but for like a month and a half, right? And for those, when you don't see the positive regression or the negative regression happen, you start to just think, well, this is just who this guy will be this year. Yep. Yet finally the positive regression has happened for Heaney, the lefty, really, really good over his last four starts.
Last four starts, he's got a 1.61 ERA. He's actually got 26 strikeouts and 22 and a third innings pitched. That's normally not the type of punch outs he averages. A .99 whip, one quality start in that mix. Texas is in the playoff picture. I am shocked by that. I thought they were left for dead weeks ago. And I'll have a play on this game later, because right now you can get Andrew Heaney over at DraftKings at +102 against Kikuchi and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, as high as +106 in the market if you shop around there at a poor Toronto team tonight north of the border. As we go to our three down, and there's, again, more guys starting tonight here. Actually, two of them against each other. We'll knock out two in one with Mackenzie Gore going against Sonny Gray in a Washington and St. Louis battle. But it has been ugly, to say the least, Dustin, for both of those guys.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, I do have a play on this. I'm backing Gore at a plus price, like 142-ish, because Sonny Gray has been bad. Gore's been bad, but Gray's been really bad last four starts. 6.17 ERA over those four. The strikeouts are still there. Too many guys on base. Just one quality start. On the other side of the hill, we'll have Mackenzie Gore over his last four, a 7.47 ERA. I just don't think Sonny Gray warrants being a $1.70 favorite right now. When his team doesn't hit lefties, and at least Gore has that going in his favor in this matchup. Like I said on yesterday's show, at this point in the year, I don't need as much evidence to back dogs. I could be wrong here with so many dogs on my card today, but I did take the flyer on Gore and the Nats.
Going Nats today, who, you look at the market, it has gone towards St. Louis, too. You're getting a better number as you've waited throughout the day on that. One more on three down. Interesting situational spot for Nick Lodolo in Cincinnati, because you get this game at the Trop right after Tampa Bay has just unloaded and been in complete sell mode here, yet it's not like the numbers have been very good. You'd like a guy with a little better form if you were going to bet specifically on that situational angle.
Yeah, look, and again, I should add, I don't put these guys in this segment because I'm saying you should bet on them or bet against them. I'm putting them in this segment because it's data and they're starting today and it's worth knowing. And over his last three starts, Lodolo has not been very good. A 6.14 ERA. The strikeouts are okay. 1.36 whip is horrible. No quality starts during those three starts. And he is a guy who started the year on the IL, then was really good for a while. You hope he can get right. And as you mentioned, Ben, it is a good situation against Tampa Bay without a Rosarena, who is a lefty killer for him and the Reds today.
Nick Lodolo looking at the market there against Shane Bass. Pretty much a pick him the way it has gone today. Back and forth on that. 7.5, so getting bet to the under now with Noah Rosarena in the lineup anymore for Tampa Bay. It is not great if you're someone like me who's got that win total over on the Rays from preseason. But alas, what are you going to do? Trade deadline.
It finally happened.
The Rays finally couldn't outperform the lack of spending. We'll go through the rest of our bets as we come back, wrap up this Friday edition of Sharp Money on the other side.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you have not done so already, check out our new look website, VSIN.com, optimized for mobile, featuring best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state betting tools, and betting guides. As we're back for the final time here on Sharp Money. Been great hanging out with Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Ben Wilson. We have VSIN Primetime coming up next, and we were just talking some Ken O'Brien during the break. Great name.
Ken
Great
O'Brien,
show.
Matt O'Brien were in the city at the same time, and only a New York sports fan who likes losing would know that. Matt O'Brien was a backup catcher.
Matt with two T's? As opposed to Matt with one T, Gamble of the Milwaukee.
I was going to say, how many people do you know with one T in Matt? That's the only one I know of.
I think it's just that single one.
Matt Which feels family. Like it's then his parents messed up at the hospital the day he was born. And they didn't know, or maybe like they didn't outline that it was two lines and then the cross of the T.
I feel like that would have been easily avoided.
I had a buddy in high school whose dad wrote cursive on his birth certificate and they couldn't read it. And his name was Brandon, but it looked like B-H-R-A-N-D-O-N. And his legal name became B-H-R-A-N-D-O-N.
Seems like something you should probably sort out as opposed to leaving it to chance. But
leaving it to handwritten.
Matt Gamble, great Milwaukee Brewer.
Matt Gamble, Ben Gamble.
Ben, yeah.
Matt Gamble was there the same time as Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder when they all came up like around the same time.
Nashville Sounds, one of the best minor league team rosters of the mid-2000s.
You guys have nothing to show for any of it.
Made the playoffs in 08.
You keep celebrating making the playoffs. It's not a big deal in baseball.
Dude, I was there game 162, 08, when Milwaukee won, and simultaneously Wes Helms hit a late three-run homer as the Marlins beat the Mets on game 162. And they were like grown men crying at Miller Park at the keg.
I'm sad for them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I was too. It was an amazing feeling. They lost to the eventual World Series champion Phillies. And, Brewer's never been to a World Series since 1982. Still haven't.
So. 2003 top prospects. Prince Fielder, Ben Hendrickson, Corey Hart, Ricky Weeks, J.J. Hardy, Manny Parra. Not a bad group.
No, good group. I mean, all those guys, with the exception of Hendrickson, had very, very long major league careers. Yeah, very solid. Are we betting on the Brewers tonight? I don't think so. I think Dustin is going to be in Operation Fade mode. With that all being said, Freddy Peralta got off to a really good start this year, just has not been the same guy. I've noticed Dustin, having watched all his starts, he is not throwing, he's known as Fastball Freddy, but he's throwing a lot more sliders as the year has gone on. He's not relying as much on the fastball, and we've seen a little bit of dip in command as a result of that. That's just the thing I've noticed from watching his starts. You've also dug up some numbers too on him.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. For a player to be worse in their home ballpark and that home ballpark not be Coors Field. So for Freddy Peralta, you look at his splits this year, 3.36 ERA on the road. It's 4.50 at home. That's almost a full run higher at home. That is, or over a full run higher at home. And when you look at Milwaukee as an offense, they're going to face a lefty in Trevor Rogers. They're middle of the road, like right there, 15th in OPS in baseball. And Trevor Rogers, he's been actually kind of solid for the Marlins over his last three starts. 2.87 ERA, over 15 and 2 innings pitched. I just think this is an opportunity to take a massive number. Look, is it likely the Marlins win this game? No, the number says that. But at plus 192, I think there's a chance they hang here. Maybe they jump out to a lead early and I can come back the other way on Milwaukee. But I do think they have a chance here. That number should not be that long when Peralta's been so bad at home.
And Milwaukee's been very, very good at eking out the tight games too this year. They've taken advantage of really good, you know, late game pitching as well. But the starting pitching, I mean, you're betting first fives against Milwaukee. You've done pretty well for yourself, in all honesty, with the way the situations have played out. That is your first of many bets here, Dustin. One that we actually do a lie on. I do like the Dodgers tonight, Gavin Stone. I've been trying to find ways to bet Stone pretty much every start. He's arguably been the most consistent pitcher for the LA Dodgers this year. And once again, market is just in fade mode here. You can get plus 113 right now on Stone and the Dodgers. That is that's one I am on against Framber Valdez of the Astros. Dodgers, the team who have been so good as well against lefties this year. And you and I are on the same page here, Dustin. What could possibly go wrong?
Look, they're the number one team in baseball in OPS against lefties. They're up there in average. They're up there in home runs, right? Like, this is just an opportunity to take a team that hits lefties, get a value. You don't often get the Dodgers at this price. I think that's the big thing here. And Framber Valdez only faced the Dodgers a couple times, but he's allowed a lot of runs. I believe it's 8 earned runs and 9.1 innings pitched. It's a 7.71 ERA against the LA Dodgers. I'll take the flyer on Gavin Stone, who has been better on the road. This game is in Houston. 2.83 road ERA, 3.50 at home, so he's better there. Everything says it's worth a shot here on LA at plus 105.
We're both on the, I shouldn't say rarely seen, but it's been more commonly seen, but the underdog LA Dodgers in this road spot at Houston. It has been happening more and more.
Yeah.
One bet I do like as well. This is not involving a game we're both on here,
yeah,
Dustin. I will go to Cubs and Royals for tonight. Cubs, since the All-Star break, only the White Sox worse in the WRC Plus. Cubs, since the break, I mean, it's been comical. Cubs have scored 9 runs in their 6-game homestand out of the break. They have been hitting at a putrid rate. 191 as a team, 54 WRC Plus, striking out nearly a quarter of the time, one of the worst marks in baseball. And as much as Brady Singer has had a lot of the negative regression numbers in his advanced peripheral arsenal for some time now, look, dude's got a 3 ERA and has still been able to outperform a lot of that, in large part due to he's made the best pitches when it matters the most, when he's got runners in scoring position or on the base pass. Cubs have been one of the worst teams in baseball with runners in scoring position all year. That's why it's a great example of just because someone has negative regression doesn't mean it's due to happen in his next start. Perfect opportunity here. The market still doesn't want to totally buy in on the Royals. You're getting sub minus 150. It's a minus 146 price tonight on Brady Singer and the Royals against this putrid, god-awful, can't-buy-a-hit-when-it-matters Chicago Cubs team. I will lay that short price at the home there with Brady Singer tonight.
I don't like the Royals' offense, but I do like any offense that faces Kyle Hendricks.
And that is part of it.
And
yes,
that is why I like your play. All right. My next one here, I do have a couple pitcher props we'll get to in a second. Let's see. I touched on the Nats, touched on the Marlins. We did the Dodgers, the Rangers. We touched on Andrew Heaney last segment at the Blue Jays. He's been awesome of late, and he's going to face a Blue Jays squad that's 27th in OPS against lefties. Also, Toronto, 2-4 since the All-Star break. Similar to the Cubs, they're about to be sellers. It's about to be very depressing north of the border for the Blue Jays, and Texas is riding a 5-game winning streak. Small price on a dog at plus 105. Let's back the team that seems to be surging at the right time in Texas.
Okay. The Blue Jays keep getting, I wouldn't say respected in the market, but there have been so many instances where, whether it was, again, against good pitchers, it seems like specifically, Dustin, you're getting that opportunity to fade a Toronto team that just has nothing on the lineup right now.
No.
Not very pretty.
A lifeless team. And then, all right, Charlie Morton. Over 5.5 strikeouts,
all right,
plus 112, taking on my New York Mets. So he's had 6 days of rest thanks to a couple rainouts for the Braves this week. He's generating slightly more strikeouts on the road than at home. But you look at the last 3 starting pitchers to face the Mets, they have cleared this number. Sale had 9. Two of the 3 have cleared the number. Gerrit Cole did not, but he's been awful lately. I don't think he's healthy. Luis Gil had 6. And then Charlie Morton against the Mets, he has gone over 5.5 strikeouts, 6 of his last 8 starts against New York. We'll take that plus price and over 5.5 Ks.
Beautiful. Let's get it.
Last one here, George Kirby. He was part of 3 up, 3 down. He is a specialist at not walking batters in
I'm
this matchup.
Up, though. The walk prop, it's a half.
It's
but it's
a perfect situation. George Kirby, fewest walks per 9 innings in all of baseball, taking on a White Sox team, 2nd in walks per game as an offense at 253. His under a half a walk is plus 126. He's a great pitcher. He'll get it done tonight.
2nd fewest walks per game. Good elite command pitcher. It's just you don't have much margin for error yet. It is the White Sox. Since the break, White Sox, so WRC plus, your average WRC plus 100, right? White Sox are 34. Like, how is that even possible? How do you have a 34 WRC plus?
And also, there's a chance they may not trade Garrett Crochet here, which is going to throw a wrinkle into things.
Seriously.
Because he wants a contract. Surprise Tommy Pham still on that roster. He'd make a great 1-2 punch in a lineup.
Ba-doom bang. They're just giving Pham, ammo to just get more frustrated and take it out on some unsuspecting.
You
got to
trade everyone there. I mean, somehow this team that's been so bad is going to possibly be extremely worse, even if they hold on to Crochet.
I just don't understand it. You also can make the argument, if you have literally nothing in the cupboard, at what point do you just take a stand and hold on to the one thing you have? But it's hard to say that when there's no other supporting cast around it.
But also, you don't even know what he's going to be long term. He's really he's been used for a while as a reliever. It's not like this is a second-year starter, right? Just go get value. You found lightning in a bottle. Just capitalize on it. Sell high.
That bullpen, man. The number. That's what 16 different games. This was even before the All-Star break. It's happened a few times since where the White Sox have won the first 5, then lost the full game, and you can be getting tremendous in-game value on that. Not that we're usually not on the air when these games are happening, especially on a Friday, but it's just been almost like a principal bet, which is weird to see in Major League Baseball. Yet White Sox are the rare team that actually follows that line of thinking. All right, best of luck, Dustin. All the bets tonight, man. It's crushing.
You too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Always great hanging out with Dustin Tweedles and see him back on Live Bet Sunday. I'm normally with him on Sundays. It'll be Dustin and Kelly Bidlin on a Sunday. In the meantime, we're all done here for the whole great crew at Bar Canada at the D. This is Sharp Money on the other side. VSiN Prime Time continues after this.